I have time to begin the Tyson presentation, which is being webcast. Representing Tyson today is John Cathol, Vice President, Investor Relations. In the middle, Dennis Letherby, I'm proud to say a longtime friend of ours, and anybody who's been in the business knows Dennis from his expertise in how you manage cash flow in a tough cash flow situation. And our principal speaker today is Tom Hayes, President and Chief Executive Officer. A little about Tom, since this is his first appearance. He's a consumer products veteran with over 30 years of experience. Tom was named CEO of Tyson in 2016. Prior to being named CEO, Tom led all operations and commercial functions as president of the company. Tom came to Tyson with the acquisition of Hillshire Brands in 2014, where he held the position of Chief Supply Chain Officer. Previously, Tom had held senior level positions at Sara Lee, ConAgra, Fort James Corporation, Stella Foods, and Kraft Foods. Tom recently presented Tyson's Twin Engines of Growth, growing the portfolio of protein packed brands and delivering sustainable food at scale. Anybody who knows about Tyson knows what a powerhouse it is, how it has grown from one product to many, and also the earnings stream behind it. To put flesh on that skeleton, Tom, you're on.
Very good. Thank you very much, Lenny. I appreciate the time today, and looking forward to talking about our agenda. So we are strong today, and we are leading for tomorrow. We're going to talk about just why that is. Before we do, a couple of forward-looking statements. We're going to be making some today, and if you have any questions on this, I'd ask you to refer to the ir.tyson.com site. So we are strong today, and we're building for also for tomorrow. You know, I want to take out some time to do some specific discussions about the growth portfolio that we have talked about so much over the last several years as we come together as a company. And we're going to make sure that you understand the modern growth portfolio we have for the future. When we take a look at our strategy, it's also inclusive of a bold commitment to sustainability. And so we'll put some more flesh in that bone. And then I'll also conclude with some final comments, wrapping things up. If we have some time, we'll take a couple of questions at the very end. So strong today and leading for tomorrow. Tyson Foods is a strong company. We have very strong financial performance, but we have positioned the company to be a growth engine for the sustainable future. Let's talk about our financials and how we've delivered. The company has delivered consistent EPS growth with adjusted EPS growth of up 39% through FY15. And we are projecting to be between 490 and 505 in FY17. Strong cash flow in the same time horizon. It's been consistent earnings growth. You see that a CAGR of 23%. And we will we have finished 2016 with $2.7 billion in operating cash flow. In the same period, we rapidly delevered from the acquisition of Hillshire Brands. In the end of 2016, we finished at 1.7 times leverage, and we finished this first quarter at 1.5 times leverage, which is right where we want to be, a really comfortable place for us. Since over the last 3 years, you have seen an unmatched shareholder return from Tyson Foods versus our competitors, 169% total shareholder return. This is something that we're very proud of, but we understand that we have to build from here. So the commitment that we have is the investments that we're making for the future are going to continue us on that trajectory that we've built so much shareholder momentum behind. Thinking about how Tyson is positioned, we are really positioned at the center between three things. The opportunity to grow the company, which we have a tremendous space in terms of fresh foods and the periphery of the store. The capabilities in terms of everything that we bring to the space in terms of commercial capabilities, operations, and logistics. And we feel like that puts us in a place where we have exceptional demand creation ability. But we also have the firepower. As you saw, the cash generation engine that this company is, we are also positioned to make acquisitions, and we have the tremendous firepower that we can put against the opportunity for growth. One thing that we want to talk about is the Fortune has talked about Tyson in a very positive way. We are the number one most admired company in the food production industry. This was something that was announced last month, and just another indication of the power that this company provides. We are ready to shape the future, but that's something that we have talked a lot about as a company. If we are going to be ready to shape the future, we have to do some things differently. The purpose of the company has been evaluated over the last several months. And as we move forward as the new Tyson Foods, we have to be simultaneously doing the right thing for growing the business as well as making sure we're a sustainable food production company. So what I want to do is just share a few things that we've done in the past, but also that have reflected into the new position of the company, which is our new vision. It's a powerful direction that Tyson Foods is going, but best represented in this video that we'll play now.
At Tyson Foods, we're on a journey. A journey that is grounded in heritage and humility while embracing ambition and growth. We're transforming into a different kind of food company with unparalleled capability that spans agriculture to dining culture. And while the value of our company has grown substantially in the past few years, we are just getting started. We are disciplined and focused operators. We manage capital thoughtfully and courageously. We are dynamic entrepreneurs, innovators, and brand builders. These are essential elements of who we are and what we do, but alone they do not explain Tyson Foods. We're a food company, we're a family, and we're taking a big step forward. The entrepreneurial spirit that fueled our founders fuels us. We feel and embrace a responsibility to create a better future. To do so, we must acknowledge that the world is changing. The people, customers, markets, and technology of tomorrow will not be the same as they are today. As our world grows, challenges are becoming more complex and opportunities are taking new forms. The basics of life, like good food and enough resources, are not givens. They must be preserved, reimagined, and created simply and ambitiously at a meaningful scale. The world is changing and so are we. Not simply reacting to change, but embracing it so we can thrive within it. It is time for us to think differently about the role Tyson Foods plays in our world. To inspire our next chapter and guide our team, we have defined a new purpose for our company. A purpose that unifies how we do more than our part to ensure the world thrives, while also constantly pursuing growth to ensure Tyson Foods thrives. At Tyson Foods, we make real, accessible, and inspiring food. We do it sustainably, creatively, and transparently at a scale that matters, because Tyson Foods exists to raise the world's expectations for how much good food can do.
So you may have noticed we have a new brand mark for the company. This is not to be confused with the mark that we have on the poultry brand, which is very strong heritage, and we continue to have that on the shelf brand. But we wanted to have a corporate brand that stands out different to point to where we're going, which is always forward. It's something that we are very proud of, and we have a lot of great comments on it. It's a bit of a change for Tyson, but it represents the umbrella of the brands that we offer at Tyson. In keeping with moving forward, we have developed a new strategic intent. Our strategic intent is sustainably feed the world with the fastest growing portfolio of protein-packed brands. So sustainably is a key word for sure, growing around the world, and we want to grow in fast-growing spaces, and particularly as it relates to the brand of business. So we're going to talk about that for a bit. In order to get there, we have two twin engines of growth, as Lenny mentioned at the outset. The first is to grow our portfolio of protein-packed brands. We talk a lot about the spaces that we're going to grow in and what our intentions there, but also delivering food sustainably at scale. In order to do that, we have two primary critical enablers. One is to continue to leverage the capabilities that Tyson has as a total, particularly on the commercial side, but also fuel those investments through smart planning and continuous improvement where we can take cost out to drive fuel for continuing to do our brand building. This approach is what we call the Tyson Financial Fitness Model. This is something that is new to us, but we see it as not just about zero-based budgeting. It's about making sure that our investments are focused on growth, to reduce waste across the enterprise through continuous improvement. And that's continuous improvement within the plant four walls, but also at the corporate center. Allocating our capital towards the best growth projects, as well as allocating our human resources against growth. Then also transforming our business through technology. There's a lot for us to do in terms of getting better. We know that. We can do it every day. But we really have to go on a journey within our infrastructure on technology to go from where we are today to more digital. And we also feel that's going to be a better customer experience and put us in a position where we can take costs out and be a better supplier simultaneously. So this is a model that we've shared, and I just want to come back to this to talk about what you should expect from Tyson over time. We aspire to create value by driving the value-added business. When I say value-added, that means predominantly the poultry portfolio, so the poultry or chicken segment. There's still a small part of our commodity business in there, but it's predominantly the poultry segment and prepared foods. So that's the value-added business within Tyson. And we expect to grow that over time, the volume of that, about 3%. We believe that our annual EPS growth should be in the high single digits. We performed much higher than that over time due to the turnaround that the company went through. We feel like a high single-digit aspiration is where we need to be. And we have a bold commitment to sustainability, and we're going to pay for that through continuous improvement. We will continue to buy back shares as we've had, and we're going to continue to raise dividends as we have historically. And that should put us in a top total shareholder return versus our peer, or in the top third of our peer set. So to drive superior growth, we've also sharpened how we look at the portfolio. As I just mentioned, branded and value-added is the poultry and prepared foods business, and specifically in retail and food service. In the retail side of the business, we are going to achieve above industry growth. We've demonstrated that we actually can do that and do it well, and we're going to continue to do that through innovation and customer development. On the food service side, we have some opportunities to get better, particularly on the prepared food side of our business. Our margin needs to improve, and we're going to talk more about that over time, how we do that, how that's going to be executed by our team. And we have a very strong poultry business in food service, and that is also a strong focus for us going forward for driving value, but also it's an area that's been growing and growing rapidly. On the commodity side, we do have the fresh meat business, pork and beef. We are good operators. We want to continue to build strength there and leverage that as fuel for growth for the branded and value-added business. We have a leadership team in place that is proven, and they have delivered against their responsibilities masterfully. What I'd say is it's a new team, and some have asked why the new team. It's to be very focused on the things that matter to us in our new platform for growth. Certainly consumers, it's been front and center for a long time, but we're going to amp up our investment against consumers continuously through innovation. Customers, having the customer at the center of what we do is always important, and this new organization reflects that. But then also, sustainability and technology. Sustainability is something that consumers want. It's the right thing to do. It's going to take costs out of our system, and we're going to make sure that we're a leader in the spaces where we play. And then technology I spoke to, but it's making sure that we have the best technology, but also technology that enables tremendous cost reduction. Some of those leaders are on that previous page were the result of acquisitions. So I want to talk about acquisitions for a moment. It's often asked, you know, how do you view your acquisition strategy? What do you want to focus on? And for us, it's pretty simple. We want to make sure we're either bringing a new brand in the portfolio or we're bringing a new capability. To the extent that we get into a new geography with either a new brand or capability, that's also a good thing for us. If we do all three of those simultaneously, that is right where we want to be. We also, as it relates to capabilities, if there is capacity that we need to grow the business, we'll be looking at acquisitions that focus on capacity. And we can also buy redundant capabilities. If we feel like they're going to add to our brands, we have a nice brand that we can acquire. If there are redundant capabilities, then certainly we can get cost synergy out of that deal. So this is the framework that we'll use going forward for M&A. So to wrap up that part, we are strong today. We have strong financials. We are in a unique position to grow. We have a new purpose, and it's driving a lot of focus around the company about what's the right thing to do. People want to be a part of a purpose-driven organization. Our strategy for growth is clear, and we have a future-focused team that is ready to drive the agenda. So I want to talk about what I said at the outset, which is we are building a modern growth portfolio. This is a company that has a tremendous stable of brands, but we need to continue to build those brands and invest in where the consumer wants to be, which is in protein. And so the periphery of the store, being in protein-packed foods, is our opportunity, and that's what we're going to be aiming for. So the modern growth portfolio has to shape up in three specific ways. One is going into the advantaged spaces that we are, our differentiated capabilities, which have delivered a lot of value today, but we really believe we're just getting started. Going into the multiple models that we have as a large and the largest meat company, but a large company that focuses on not only what the consumer wants, but also customer channels. And then a brand portfolio that right now is number one or number two in all the major categories that we play. So starting with the businesses that we're focused on, clearly in the retail side, we have a high growth and high margin business. We continue to invest in the retail brands. We have some great billion-dollar brands in Tyson, Jimmy Dean, and Hillshire Farm. We also have some established icons with Ball Park, Adele, State Fair, and the Wright brand. There are emerging brands that continue to get focus, whether it's Hillshire Snacking or the Tyson Tastemakers, which we spoke of. But those areas that we can build into, you know, emerging icons or maybe billion-dollar brands over time. In the retail space, we've demonstrated that we can grow brands and we can grow them effectively at high margins. Speaking about the advantage space, the protein clearly is where consumers want to be. They are demanding more and more of it. 54% of people are increasing protein in their diets. And when you think about the reasons why they're buying, it's around health attributes. They believe that having more protein in their diet is going to make them a healthier person. And that, for us, is, you know, really the space that we're excited about, because that's what we do. We are a protein company. This is a large, large space. Think about packaged protein. Overall, this includes things like, you know, nuts and any part of a protein, you know, company. This is the major category, $100 billion. But if you think about packaged meat, the compound annual growth rate of the packaged meat sector is 70%. It's growing 70% faster. So it's not just protein, but it's also nutrient dense and the type of protein that matters. So at retail, the type of protein that matters is about a $46 billion opportunity. There's certainly a large unbranded part of that, but also a fair amount is branded in the spaces that we play. And certainly there's value added that is not necessarily a branded product, but it is something that has had added value, whether it's marinated or cooked. This space, we believe, where the unbranded business is and where there's private label, we can continue to grow faster and take advantage of the capabilities that we have, where there have been under-marketed categories in the past, where we can leverage the strength of the company. So we call this space the consumer fresh goods area for us to compete. So talking about differentiated capabilities, we have a number of them, and it's really, we could go on forever talking about this list, but the things to think about are the acquired capabilities that came with the Hillshire Brands acquisition on the commercial side, matched with the tremendous supply chain power that came with the legacy Tyson organization. Putting these two things together, we've taken 1 + 1 and made it 3, and we'll talk a little bit about how that works. We know that with the spaces that we play in, we have great penetration of these categories in households in some, and we have lower penetration in others. But as you look across the board, what we consistently see is that growing our business, either through household penetration or through the category penetration of that household, is clearly an opportunity. So we have ways to unlock new businesses, and as we have done continuously, we will continue to move in the direction of unlocking those consumer insights and building brands that could be emerging. We don't talk a lot about it, but we have a nice business in Nudges, which is a pet treat business. Certainly Hillshire snacking, getting into the flexible eating trend that consumers have been continually going for. And then Golden Island, Nature Raised Farms. The one on the left is the Tyson Tastemakers brand. That is a meal kit that has been launched in e-commerce, is doing extremely well. We're using that as a platform to grow into traditional retail with other forms that is kicking off in May. We talked a bit about that at CAGNY in the US, but it's getting a lot of traction with distribution already teeing up for a great launch. We have a repeatable model to making sure that we continue to focus on brand building in a way that is differentiated from our competitors. It's not just about advertising and promotional spending, but it's doing it in a way that's building upon a total 360 approach to how we continue to grab great equities, make them better through consistent marketing, but also leveraging the current consumer insights to take the brand even further. A great example is Jimmy Dean Delights. And a great, you know, representation of that was this video that we put together we wanted to share that talks about how we build brands through the model of Jimmy Dean.
I'm Jimmy Dean, and I'm sitting on the side of a mountain in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and I got up 4:30 to be out here. We wanted to cut a commercial, and it was supposed to be cold, where your breath would frost and everything. It ain't cold, and the breath won't frost. But this commercial cost a ton of money. So least you can do is go out and buy some Jimmy Dean sausage. Lord knows we tried.
In 1969, Jimmy Dean decided that the people deserved a better brand of breakfast sausage. His grit and entrepreneurial spirit, combined with a product that exceeded consumers' quality expectations, made Jimmy Dean sausage a hit. As the brand nears its 50th birthday, Jimmy Dean has surpassed $1 billion in annual sales, making it the undisputed number one brand in both refrigerated breakfast sausage and frozen protein breakfast. And while other legacy food brands have succumbed to the challenges of old age, Jimmy Dean continues to perform like a brand in its prime. The drivers of Jimmy Dean's consistent growth trajectory reflect a winning approach that is being applied across the Tyson portfolio. High-quality products, distinctive, enduring brand equities, salient consumer and cultural insights, and an entrepreneurial spirit fuel innovation and a focus on growth. While Jimmy Dean's advertising strategy has evolved over the years, we've remained committed to featuring our signature product experience, message of positivity, sun-oriented equities, and the Shine On theme line. As a result, our returns on media spend are some of the best in the food business, allowing us to invest in innovation and brand-building advertising to drive margin growth. The portfolio now serves a range of need states, from indulgent to family-friendly to better for you, by remaining faithful to a sensory experience that is uniquely Jimmy Dean. Jimmy Dean Delights, bowls, and pancakes and sausage have all surpassed the $100 million mark at retail. New Delights frittatas and stuffed hash browns have contributed 60% of the volume growth for Jimmy Dean Frozen during the last two quarters. These investments in communication and innovation have made Jimmy Dean a freezer case powerhouse. Retailers have increased our shelving allocations, making innovation highly incremental and competitive encroachment difficult. The results of this virtuous cycle of investment and innovation are sustained household penetration increases and share growth, debunking the myth that brands can't thrive in the freezer section. The best practices inherent in Jimmy Dean's approach to business building are evident across the Tyson Foods brand portfolio. Whether it's Tyson Chicken moving to a master brand marketing approach, Hillshire Farm extending into adult snacking and investing in efficient digital advertising tactics, or Adele's effectively extending into new categories, the lessons learned from Jimmy Dean's success have contributed to a Tyson Foods model that is fueling growth across our portfolio. Jimmy Dean is evidence of superior brand management capabilities and a focus on growth, which can and will deliver sustained, superior returns. It's a shining example for all of us at Tyson Foods.
So this is a model that continues to deliver, and we have seen in the last quarter, last 13 weeks running, that the volume is coming with the innovation and the model that we're building. In terms of food, we have had a tremendous run as it relates to building what we call our core nine. But additionally, outside of the core nine, Tyson at retail, as measured channels in the U.S., continues to grow well ahead of our competition. 5.2% is the total, and 5.5% for the core nine. Through this growth, we see that the objective of trying to penetrate these households is actually happening. So household penetration and buying is up one full point, and the amount of those buys is up over 5%. One of the things that we want to do is to continue to be recognized as an innovation leader, and we are happy that externally we're being recognized. Tyson was, by BCG, looked at as a company that was the number one food and beverage growth performer overall. You see it in the far left there, from large companies. And this is a survey with IRI and BCG that looks at all companies, not just in the food space. And so we are in some rarefied air there and really appreciate the hard work that the team has done to put us in that position. So talking about innovation, we have really three ways we attack it. One is through the fresh part of our portfolio, because we realize that as we are driving into the periphery of the store with our products, we are taking advantage of a tidal wave of where the consumers are going. But they're also looking for flexible eating. Gone are three square meals, and they're also looking for something that's going to add benefits, some functional attributes, certainly, which is the reason why protein is so important and where we play. If you think about the perimeter of the store, this is where our center is. 74% of the supermarket growth is coming from the periphery of the store. And so those trips are up, the consumers, our preference is all headed there. It's a reason why we're so excited about the space. As it relates to those meals, gone are those three square meals. It is an opportunity to hit consumers with protein in between those meals. And whether it's a breakfast item like Jimmy Dean that they could consume any part of the day, or if Hillshire snacking in between, this is an area that we feel extremely confident about the long-term growth trajectory of the business based on this trend. And consumers want complete protein. This is a chart that we've showed before, but it's a great indication of not all proteins are created equal. If you look on the far right-hand side of this chart, it takes 50 tablespoons of peanut butter to equal just 5 ounces of chicken in terms of protein delivery and with the nutrients that chicken can offer. So we have a sampling of the innovation that we are launching. This approach has been a successful approach for us. Jimmy Dean Delights is driving category growth in a category in frozen that hasn't been growing. Stuffed hash browns are bringing new consumers to the category. And then snacking, and particularly Hillshire snacking, has created a new space where consumers are looking for upscale and indulgent areas, as well as protein delivery. Innovation performance for us over the last few years has been strong. We started in FY14 together as Tyson Foods and Hillshire Brands, and our total innovation over the last 3 years as a percent of total sales was 12%, and in 16 it'll be 14%. So important for us, that vitality rate is continuing to go up, and it's an improvement of 21%, which we feel like is a great place to be. Another part of our innovation is matching the product attributes with our supply chain capabilities. And at CAGNY, we announced that in June of this year, our entire retail Tyson-branded business will be no antibiotics ever. So already had, no hormones, no steroids, but has no preservatives, and it'll be no antibiotics ever, or NAE, across the entire retail line. This is big news for us because it's not easy to get there. It's not everybody that can achieve this just by saying they want to. There's a lot of hard work that goes into it, and the team collapsed on making sure that we could get it done and get it done quickly. And proud to say that we will be the world's largest NAE chicken manufacturer once we go into the market in June with this new product. One of the things that we continue to drive forward is how do we take the capabilities of the team collectively and drive them towards, products and categories that have been historically undermarketed. The best evidence of that is what we've done with the Tyson brand, and want to share this video to talk about where we're going, because that is the opportunity is to continue to take those capabilities and expand them across all of our brands and all the product categories that we own today or potentially will own tomorrow.
Keep it real, keep it Tyson is a big master brand idea rooted in our heritage and driven by our commitment to quality. The more we embrace and express this idea, the harder it works to drive brand affinity and growth. Prior to 2015, the marketing for Tyson-branded chicken hadn't been organized around a central idea. As a result, people knew and respected our products, but couldn't relate to our brand. Making Tyson stand for something more than the sum of its parts was an opportunity to unlock significant growth. The theme, Keep It Real, Keep It Tyson, was inspired by the brand's origins. John Tyson's authentic American success story and enduring reputation for quality resonates with today's consumers who are trying to put good food on the table while aspiring to meet the shifting and often unrealistic expectations of contemporary food culture. Keep It Real, Keep It Tyson is more than a tagline for advertising. It's an ethos that drives everything we do. It has inspired product innovation, like new premium offerings with bolder flavors. It's driving renovation efforts as we go natural for established product lines. And because the Keep It Real idea is integral to the entire consumer experience, we're creating communications that halo across the whole portfolio. Keep It Real, Keep It Tyson is the abiding theme of our new website, and it's allowed us to consolidate the brand's social media activity. Since sales responded well during the launch of the campaign, we leaned in and increased spending during the peak sales period of August to September. And it's working. Digital advertising efficiencies are all above norm. We're attracting new users to the brand and realizing the expected halo benefits of a master brand approach. Most importantly of all, in a category that had been in decline, Tyson has grown both volume and share, delivering incremental sales worth over $100 million annually. But that's just the beginning. We're launching exciting new products that further embrace the Keep It Real philosophy, and we're already seeing strong early results. We're going no antibiotics ever across our entire portfolio, and we'll support the change with media investment. And we're creating a digital content series to demystify how we raise chickens and create our products. With Keep It Real, Keep It Tyson, the brand is beginning to reap the benefits of a more strategic approach to consumer marketing. And the best is yet to come.
So it's important to be a brand innovator and innovation company overall, and that innovation extends into how we do what we do. So we are going to be, and have talked about taking our game to sustainability. There's a lot of innovation that the team has done behind the scenes, and how do we get products to market. And for us to lead the way there is our intention. So we believe that, you know, not just from the case for sustainability with certainly the environment, the social impact, but also from a business point of view, we actually can make a better, stronger business and a more cost-effective business by focusing on everything that is bringing our enterprise to a better place. One of the things we are working very diligently against is that we have been attacked in some cases by a single-issue focus that for us is, you know, really the issue that we face is more, needs to be more well-rounded, and we're focused on a holistic approach to sustainability. We are constantly in a position where we are asked to make trade-offs. That doesn't matter where it is, but if it's, you know, having healthier animals at the expense of having a healthier workplace or a healthier environment. And we are looking at all of these together because we believe we can do them all. And we have an example of what we mean by that today. But we believe that having an approach that will take in full context the entire sustainability enterprise to a different level is the right way to go. So it's a system level approach, and we are going to create competitive advantage and make sure that we are being the leader that we have been in the space in terms of volume, growth, and profit, and take that to the next step in terms of a sustainable enterprise. So the approach, we could have started in some part that was easier to do, but we have started with poultry. And we have the poultry farm of the future that we have shared with folks on a limited basis, but now we're talking about quite broadly, that takes all elements of handling the birds through processing to a different level and a more productive approach to cost as well. So it's a contained environment, closed loop, that we are viewing as kind of a concept car for the chicken business. And although we're not going to roll this out en masse, we're going to take elements of it and build that into our profile as we talk to growers about future expansion. And the team is extremely excited about it. We are starting to show it to some folks, and the results of their reaction to it is great because it is a healthier system for employees. It's a greater approach to animal well-being, as well as, like I said, the closed-loop nature of it creates a much more sustainable footprint. Done well and executed in a vertical nature, this can be 60% less of the land use associated with a conventional farm. So we like the results. The 60% less is the biggest, but it also improves on food safety, certainly animal welfare, because there's less human interaction and stressful human interaction. And overall, having this footprint will reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So we will be making some commitments. We are working with some outside partners to make sure we're making scientific-based, logical commitments, and also ones that are outcome-based. And so those will be coming in the future, but these are the areas in which we will pursue those. And those targets will certainly be well-rounded, but we want to make sure that we don't have an approach that we can't live up to. And so we're going to make sure that we're partnering with those that are experts in the industry to get us to a place where we feel confident we can deliver against those science-based targets. I'll say it again, just through this slide, we don't think this is something that is going to cost money. We think it will actually reduce our overall operating costs, because as you reduce resources, cut waste out, you will increase the overall value generation of the model. And so we think we can do it simultaneously by putting money in the bank and being more sustainable. Tyson New Ventures is something that we are also focusing on through this business through sustainability. It's a venture fund that we stood up that has about $150 million allocated to it to make investments in the spaces where there are technologies that are nascent and building that we want exposure to. And we made one investment so far in Beyond Meat, which is an alternative protein. It's a vegetable-based meat alternative. And we're excited about what that brings us in terms of new capabilities and just learning overall for the team. So, in summary, there is a bright future ahead of Tyson Foods. We're tackling a big agenda, but you wouldn't expect us to do anything less. We want to continue to drive shareholder value through making great products and doing it in the right way. We feel like we have the team that can accomplish that, and we have put points on the board in the past, and we're going to put points on the board in the future by leveraging all the strength the company has and by using the firepower that Tyson has to continue to grow both organically and through acquisitions. So thanks. I appreciate you listening to our presentation today, and I think we have about 4.5 minutes for questions.
Are there questions from the floor? Over here, please.
Thanks. Akshay Jagdale, Jefferies. Two questions, one on the branded strategy and one on the commodity side, if I may. So on the branded side, if you succeed with your strategy long term, what will it mean for consumers? Like, what kind of products should consumers expect to see? And then what does that mean for segment margins, chicken and prepared foods? And then on the commodity side, you know, there's this concern that you might be over-earning, for lack of a better term. And with some AI issues, you know, trade speculation, and there's also this whole wall of protein, if I may, that's coming on, that's causing some pressure from competing proteins on prices. How should we think of all those issues in the context of great results that we've seen over the last 3 years in your commodity business? Thanks.
Yeah. So a lot of questions in there. I'll do my best to answer those, but certainly, we can come back after the fact. You know, as it relates to the products, the investments that we're making in the brands and the segment, you know, margins and sustainable margins over time, we would love to get those to typical CPG level margins, but we want to make sure that we're investing and growing at the same time. So that's a constant balance that we have. If, in fact, the investment is going to outrun the growth, then we're going to pull it back. That's certainly something that we want to make sure we're cognizant of, but we want to do that carefully so we can continue to build new products and margins simultaneously. The types of new products are going to leverage the fresh space. So most of what we're doing today, and I would say probably nearly all of it in the future, would be taking the fresh approach that consumers want and value adding where it matters. And so Tyson Tastemakers is a good example where we have, you know, fresh marinated product with vegetables and a delighter that continues to take advantage of our strength of protein, but also where the consumer's headed. As it relates to over-earning on commodities, you know, one of the key slides in this presentation is how we're looking at each part of the business. The fresh meats business with beef and pork, we see that as a commodity business. And it will, from time to time, earn much stronger margins, and it will fluctuate. That's the nature of that business. I think the important thing that you would expect us to do, and we're focusing on probably, you know, more specifically now, is to say that is used as a fuel for growth. That's going to be an engine to drive the value-added side, and I think of value-added as poultry and prepared foods. And certainly we'll go through cycles. We're actually in a great cycle now. We think, frankly, the next couple of years look pretty good on pork and beef. So, this wall of protein, as you say, I think it's going to get consumed. It'll definitely get consumed. The question is at what price? And exports are strong. You know, all the stuff that's swirling around us in terms of the political in nature seems to have, been a lot of noise, and we feel like it's actually, future looks great for us in terms of exports.
We have time for one more question, and in the back, I believe. Oh, I'm sorry, right here. Beg your pardon.
Thank you. I would like to ask you how you deal with a healthy way of life in a context where, at least for now, it seems that, especially in U.S., seems that protein is bad for now. How are you dealing with this trend? Is it a concern for you?
That protein is bad? Is that what you said?
Seems to be.
No, because we feel like protein is good. Certainly, what I would say there have been some attacks, to be fair, is on processed meats. So we have been focused on where we can take, whether it's ingredients, period, or ingredients that are seen as negative out, and accentuate those that are the positives. So fresh and less processed is the focus of our innovation. But I would say overall, certainly in the U.S., protein is seen as something consumers increasingly want. What they may not want is processed, for sure.
All right, now, one last question in the back before he beats me up.
I'm not an expert in the company, and you talked an awful lot during the presentation, very succinctly, I thought, about the way you prioritize growth inside the business, which has included acquisitions in the past. Some of the great companies seem to be able to focus on growth and return on invested capital at the same time. Can you just sort of talk about return on invested capital and your attitude towards it, whether it's important to you or not?
Yeah, I'll maybe ask Dennis to chime in here, but I would say we want to do both, and that's the difficulty. If we focus on one, at the risk of not focusing on the other, if that was a metric that could be overused, and we want to do both. We want to grow at the right return, but we want to grow.
I think it's important to note that we have, last year free cash flow was about $1.8 billion, and that's after CapEx and dividends. This year will be a little bit less because of an increased dividend and higher capital spending, and that spending is toward growth. So think free cash flow maybe in $1.5 billion range, and that gives us the capacity to grow through M&A. We have considerable capability to leverage, but growth is first and foremost our focus. So it starts with CapEx, it starts with investing in our brands, and then it extends into M&A. So we see those as important while at the same time striving for a high return on invested capital. In 2014, before we acquired Hillshire, our pre-tax return on invested capital was about 21%. We're already back to 19%, so you can expect us, even through M&A, to work our way back toward those kind of 20% type numbers.
In order to comply with our time schedule, and unfortunately Tyson has to take off right now, so there will not be a breakout, we ask you to stay here for Fruit-A-Rom, which will begin as soon as practical. Tyson, thank you very much. Tom, welcome for the first time. Dennis, always good to see you. John, thank you. And we hope to have you back next year. Thank you very much, Tyson.